We need to get this done quickly. I got things to do, people to see, places to go.
You must budgeting. Your coffee's running through you. I can tell you're speeding up.
I know, really. It's in.
You're listening to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is Donna Grindle of Card and Compliance. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, David.
How have you been this week?
Tell you what, busier than a one-armed paper hanger.
Paper hanger? I'm glad to Google that one.
Hey, now. You never heard that one?
I have heard it. Just don't know what a paper hanger is.
Wallpaper. You know, it's coming back. I don't know if you know that, but wallpaper's making a comeback. According to my information, wallpaper's making a comeback.
That's disturbing. That's like shag carpet making a comeback.
Well, you know, it's like tile that looks like wood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get the best of both. They're doing similar kinds of things with wallpaper.
So, yeah, wallpaper looks like paint?
Apparently. Wallpaper that looks like walls. At least it's not wood paneling.
Yeah. I don't know.
I had 70s wood paneling with little bows in it.
Yeah, but I had an affinity with the wood paneling. Maybe it was because my grandparents had it. So, but they had the real wood paneling, not like the little thin stuff.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
the thin stuff.
The knotty pine wood paneling.
No, real wood is in.
Yeah.
And this is not a decorating show. And we are now sharing with everybody that we pay attention to those kind of things, which may shock some of you.
It would not be the first time we shock people.
Yeah. So, well, at least this is with just random bits of information.
So, as we come up to the end of the year, where you are finally wrapping up some of your speaking engagements. So, what do you have left?
By the time this airs, I will be done with everything for this year.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. So, I'm booking things. I haven't booked anything yet for January. I'm finalizing something for February. And another thing for February. So I've got two in February. One of them is finalized. It's the Georgia South Carolina Ambulatory Surgical Center something joint conference on February 16th in Atlanta. So I will be like the Friday morning, 9 a.m. bright and early. Welcome.
Oh, my goodness.
To hear me.
I don't know if they're going to be ready for you at 9 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know if I'm ready for me at 9 o'clock in the morning.
I know. You sent me a text the other morning, like 6:30. I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, you know, I've been going. You know, I have to get trained, too. And I go to things. And for some reason, everything that I have found to go to, and they've been great. I have to say, I went to a high-trust community extension something meeting. Fantastic information. Met some good folks. And then yesterday, Taylor English is a law firm here in town. They hosted a panel discussion on cybersecurity planning in the wake of Equifax. And a fantastic discussion. Really got a lot out of both of those events. But, you know, it required me to be up way before. It was the middle of the night to me when I was going to those things.
I'm not sure it was the middle of the night. I know. I mean, when I saw your name come up, I thought, okay, somebody's died. This is bad.
Yeah, but we'll share some of those information, and I've actually got a really cool interview lined up I haven't told you about from one of them. So
cool.
It's going to be awesome.
All right.
Anyhow, that is our, you know, where are we going to be so far. I don't like to share the dates and times until I know for sure I've locked them in. Mm-hmm. And that nothing else has gotten messed up. But I got three others in the work between now and April. So, anywho, on to the challenges for today's episode.
Yeah. So, today we're going to be discussing five things to do before year's end. And it has nothing to do with taking down a Christmas tree or
putting one up,
you know, running off the in-laws.
It's, you know, those are the things everybody worries about this time of year. We're about to hit it. You know, Thanksgiving to New Year, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to sneak one in on you.
Yep. So before we do that, though, I've got a story to tell you.
Yeah. This was, I don't know where you found this one, but wow.
I know. It's, you know, you probably like me. You don't always go to the normal news sources that everybody else does.
And,
right. And because of that, you stumble across some interesting stuff. So this is one of those ones where I was not in the normal parts of the internet. And I stumbled across this person who had taken a screenshot of a text message conversation. And apparently this lady went in for an EKG and there was a male nurse. And the male nurse could not help himself because the lady was, quote unquote, so hot.
That exchange is,
So according to the text messages and her posting this somewhere, the male nurse was flirting with her and making passes at her, and she was trying to ignore him. But anyway, she finally got out of the medical facility unscathed. And then, lo and behold, she starts getting text messages from the dude.
This is good.
He had looked up her number in her medical chart so that he could start sending her text messages.
Yeah, that's a good sign of proper uses and disclosures. I'll tell you that one.
Yeah.
And, but for the fun of it, before we get into ours, I think that we should read the conversation.
Okay.
To folks so that they can see if I can get it where I can read it. Yeah.
All right.
Where I can read it.
So, you read the green part because that's the girl.
Yeah.
I'll read
the boy part.
So you go ahead.
Okay. All right. So this is right from the beginning, the entire conversation. That was a nightmare in itself.
I know it all too well. Well, you were the brightest part of my day, and it was a very busy, dim day.
Aw, I'm glad I can make your day better.
I don't want to cross the line here. But if you couldn't tell, I was trying to flirt with you, which wasn't easy right in front of the nurse's station.
Aw, yeah, I must have looked amazing with my shirt falling off.
I wasn't complaining. You're absolutely freaking hot. And for full disclosure, not sure if you noticed, but I am married. Hope that doesn't piss you off.
It's hard to get through this with this guy. I don't think your wife would love you texting me. Haha, but
pretty sure not. Just couldn't resist with you. Let me know if you want me to drop this conversation.
I just decided to look at your Facebook because I do that with anyone, and I think your daughters might be my age.
Oldest is turning 22. Yeah, kind of weird. We should probably drop the conversation.
Okay. So, first of all, creepy dude. And the woman that posted it said, couldn't help posting this, had an EKG the other day, met this nurse. Apparently, he decided to look me up after I ignored him repeatedly. Went into my file, got my phone number. I don't know if I should keep laughing hysterically or start feeling bad for his wife and kids and career.
Yeah, just to let everybody know, where this came from was kind of a forum thing, and there were tons of people saying, please report this guy, please report this guy, please call the hospital, please call OCR, please call, I mean, just list of people. I don't know who it is, where it came from. I don't know anything other than that. But this guy is...
Yeah, this... Ugh. Yeah. So there's another insider issue. We will just leave it at that.
So on your list of things to check, make sure to mark off the freaking hot women as being a breach problem.
Yeah. Yeah, check access for anybody that you hear somebody saying, ooh, they're hot. Doesn't matter which way it goes. Hot men, hot women, doesn't matter. you hear that, go check their access record.
Yep, there you go. So, mm-hmm.
Okay.
That brings us to the day's topic. We're going to talk about the five things to do before year's end, and we'll dive into each one of these a little bit. And I think you'll find that there's some interesting stuff here. So, Donna, I'll let you start out.
Allow me to begin.
Go for it.
Five things to do before year's end. Number one, review your risk management plan. How did we do this year is what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. So is everything you did that you know you did documented and stored in your compliance documentation system? Because we know if it isn't documented,
it didn't happen.
There you go. And even pull some random documentation to confirm things are being done and audited. You know, pull new employee checklist or termination checklist. Pull an audit of antivirus or something. Just pull some random reports from like July and see that everything looks right. You know, this is the time to catch it, and that is a pretty straightforward thing. Make sure everything's documented. Then identify those high risk gaps in your compliance and security that you've identified. See how many of those have been closed, because you want to be able to show you're doing improvement. It's the, you know, that's kind of the objective of privacy and security is to constantly improve and to adapt. And we know that the threats are constantly changing. So therefore, your programs need to be, you know, they can't be static. You either got to be getting better or worse. You never stay the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
And identify how much progress you made on, you know, what were our goals for the year in the beginning? Because, you know, we all started with our Help Me with HIPAA compliance officer plan, and you had goals to spend a certain amount of time or to complete certain things. So you want to see if there's anything you might be able to just finalize that you started and you set it aside and it just needs another day and you're done. You know, sneak it in during the holidays, something like that. And double check all your vendors in your business associate management plan. Make sure your high risk ones have done or updated a business associate due diligence. Make sure all your new ones have been evaluated. New vendors should be evaluated to make sure whether or not they're a business associate and assign a risk level if they are. Make sure your new ones have proper business associate agreements in place and it's in your contract management system, whatever you do. And then, of course, here's your bonus. Document you did all of this. So that's number one thing. Go through, do those things. Take that time. Set aside your afternoon to do all of that. It shouldn't be too – it sounds like a lot, but if you're just going through, pulling what your plans were and looking to see what you've done and just sit and look out the window and say, what did I do this year?
Well, it's important to assess, you know, what you've done, because we're going to be talking about, you know, making goals for the next year. And if you don't go back and look at that, then you're not really sure what you were doing well and what you weren't doing well with. And it's kind of like a risk analysis where you kind of look at everything and then try to find out, okay, what do we need to improve on? What do we do good on? And go from there. So you have to do the review.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that brings us to our goal session. So based on this year, what do you need to do differently next year? And in next year being 2018 as we record this.
Unbelievable.
I know how quick that goes. So one thing we want to look at is we've talked before about doing the mini risk analysis. Everybody thinks you have to do this big, huge risk analysis and, you know, do it annually or do it every 3 years or whatever it is. But they miss the fact that you really should be doing a lot of the small risk analysis. You know, every time something changes, it should just be a little small analysis that you do on this to find out what your risks are. So look at those. What have you done there? Are there any that you need to do at the end of the year? Or maybe you want to go ahead and take an overall look at your organization and then break those down into smaller risk analysis and then break those into maybe I want to do this one this month. You know, I'm going to do this one the next month and go ahead and plan those out and put it on the calendar. Because if it doesn't get written down it doesn't get done a lot of times. I know with me, Donald, you're probably the same way. If I don't schedule it,
it ain't happening.
It ain't going to happen. If I don't put it on my calendar.
It has to be on the calendar.
Yeah. If it's not on my calendar, it's not happening.
Right.
Shoot, for me, even putting go to the grocery store has to be on the calendar. It won't get done. I'm telling you, live in that calendar.
I hear you. I had get gas on my calendar yesterday. I'm just saying.
I know, dude. I live in that thing. It tells me, I mean, it's surprising. It don't tell me when to breathe. But speaking on the calendar, one of the other things you need to look at doing this year is what are you going to do about training? Because a lot of people are probably going, oh, wait a minute. We haven't done our HIPAA training this year. We got to get that in last minute.
And believe me, I know about last minute completing HIPAA training. I hear about that.
Yeah. So go ahead and look at your calendar. What was you going to say?
Well, I'm going to dig into that in number three, too, a little bit. So.
Okay. So go ahead and look at your calendar. What kind of training you're going to do? You know, we've talked, if you follow the podcast at all, you know that we kind of make fun of people who do training once a year. So, because you're not going to create that culture of compliance or culture of anything if you're just doing it once a year. That's used to kill me whenever I worked for local government and they did, you know, we did driver's training once a year and we did bloodborne pathogens once a year and first aid training once a year. I'm like, we're not going to remember this when we need to use it. It's just one time a year.
Checking it off the list. Not actually worrying about doing it.
Exactly. It was just that. So look at your training calendar. What you need to do training on. And we say this all the time, but this show, this podcast is tons of information to use for training. So take your training, figure out when you're going to do it, how often you're going to do it, and go ahead and put that on the calendar and do it, you know, monthly or quarterly or whatever it's going to be, and go ahead and plan that out for 2018. Next, going more into the calendar, you also want to review your policies and procedures you have. You want to look at what needs to be updated and what needs to be created, and go ahead and put those on the calendar as well. If you're going to try to sit down and go, I'm going to do all my policies and procedures this month, sorry, it's probably not going to happen. You know, sit down and say, I want to review two policies and procedures this month. And if they need to be updated, I'll update them, but I want to create one new one. So give, you know, make it something you can actually accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
What else are you going to say on that?
No. Policies and procedures is in a lot of ways, it drives a lot of people crazy. I just need to get them done. You know what? You're doing them every day. You just don't know it. You're saying, somebody comes and says, what do we do about such and such? And you say, well, let's handle it this way. Okay, that's a policy and procedure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're doing them, you're just not writing them down. So a lot of times it's when you realize you're doing that, make a note and say, I need to write that down. Write it on your hand. I have a friend of mine, all you have to do is see her after work. And all over her hand will be what she had to worry about that day.
Wow.
Hey, you know, she doesn't lose her notes.
Just don't wash your hand. That's
you know, it's like, I ask. You just don't scrub them. You can wash them, just don't scrub them. She writes it on the top.
There you go. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
So, and the goals, another thing to look at is your business associate reviews. Now, these are not just compliance reviews, which you should be doing, I hope, but also review the business associate agreements that you have with them. Make sure you have one. Yeah, I have people that sometimes call me and like, I can't find it. I know we've had one, but I can't find it. Can you send me another one? Or can we sign another one or whatever? Just make sure you have those. You'd hate to have some type of issue where you end up getting audited and you're doing all these things right, and then come to find out you don't have business associate agreements, which are kind of like the easy thing to do.
You know? Well, in a lot of ways. But I can tell you, if your business associate has a problem or they cause a breach or there's a complaint about them, the very first thing that OCR is going to ask you is, what is in your business associate agreement?
Mm-hmm.
Show me the business associate agreement with that particular vendor. So, yes, have a plan to review business associate agreements. How many are you going to review or what kinds are you going to review in each quarter of the year for your goals?
Mm-hmm. So, as we finish up on the goals section, for those of you who are probably in HR or management or whatever, you probably heard the SMART goals, S-M-A-R-T. For those of you who don't know what it is, I'm going to cover it quickly. But SMART goals is a way to break down your goals to make sure they're easier, they're clear, they're reachable. So the SMART is the acronym. So S stands for specific. So make a goal that's simple, sensible, it's significant, but it's also specific to what you're trying to do. So, you know, something like you, for instance, you wouldn't say, in 2018, I want to start a new business. Well, that's not very specific. You know, in 2018, you want to start a business doing XYZ would be specific. So make your goals specific. The M would be measurable. So how can you measure the success of the goal? Because if you can't measure it, then you can't improve on it. You can't do anything with it. So
how you don't know if you did it or not.
Right. How are you going to measure that? You can't say like, I want more money in my bank account next year. Okay. Is that a penny? Is that a dollar? I mean, you know, you got to have something you can measure. Then the A is achievable. And some of these also, if you know the SMART goals, some people use different words. So, and especially the R for some reason, it's like five different things it could be.
Yeah.
But well, on A, you know, make
whatever
it achievable.
Works for you.
So the worst thing you can have. Yeah. So the worst thing you can have is a goal that you can't achieve or that's too lofty. You know, I talked a while ago about sitting down and saying you're going to do all your policies and procedures in 1 month. That's not achievable or attainable, as some people use the A. So don't use things that you can't get to. R is relevant. Some people say R is reasonable or realistic or results-based. Use whatever R you want to use. But the fact is it has to be something that, again, is that you can reach it and you can measure it, and it's relevant to your business. And then lastly, T is time-based. So you want to give yourself a time frame in which to do that, and that's why the calendar is so important. You don't want to just say, we want to do HIPAA training this year. Well, that's not going to do you much good. Whereas if you say, I want to do HIPAA training every month or every quarter, and we're going to do it on this date, at this time, or we're going to do 3 policies and procedures this quarter, it's got to be done by the end of Q1, then you've given your goals a time limit that have to be done. And I don't know about you, Donna, but for me, if you give me a year, it's going to take a year. If you give me a week, it'll take a week. So that's important for me personally. I have to have time limits because I don't tend to do them at the last minute.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean there. Yeah, it has to be on my calendar. It needs to be on my calendar.
Yep.
So we're ready for now. What's our next one?
Yeah, so that was number one was review risk management. Number two was setting goals. Number three is
planning your desktop reviews for your incident response, disaster recovery, business continuity, training, and security awareness activity. Just plan it all out. Set the dates for the training sessions, set the dates for the desktop reviews, and invite people that need to be there, because that way you don't have to know what you're going to do on those days. You don't have to figure that out until, you know, closer to the time. But you do need to be able to put it in a environment, you know, frame it so that everybody knows they've got to be doing it. And make that be on the company calendar so that, you know, one of the terms that I really liked in the session I went to it on Equifax cybersecurity stuff, they used the phrase, the tone at the top.
The tone at the top
determines what your cybersecurity stance will be.
Yeah, that's true.
So the tone at the top is definitely key, and one of the ways to do that is to make sure it's on their calendar, the top. And if you put it on, you know, far enough out, then you've set those dates. And if you just go ahead and plan them out, you can always move them if you need to. But if you publish those dates, it's reminding everybody, hey, we've got to do these things, number one. And number two is it sets the objective. It's part of your goal to make sure you're doing those things. You know, it's, again, put it on the calendar. It helps it happen. You need to sit down with your incident response team and say, okay, the toilet blew up. What do we do? Whatever, but you do these desktop reviews on that, disaster recovery, business continuity, and you ask a lot of questions. But that exercise is very, very valuable for when you need it. Because otherwise, everybody's not sure what they're doing. They haven't really considered a lot of scenarios. They haven't thought so many things through. So it's hugely valuable. And we're not talking about a day, you know, that you have to do it, especially if you spread it out and do it once a quarter, maybe for an hour. So get those on the calendar, which is pretty straightforward. Do that now so that it gets there before everybody starts scheduling stuff, right?
Right.
And then another piece, so we'll move to number four because we need to get this done quickly. I got things to do, people to see, places to go.
You must budgeting. Your coffee's running through you. I can tell you're speeding up.
I know, really. It's in. Budgeting for projects and tech refreshes you may need. It's one of those things where if you don't put it out there, it's never going to happen. So a lot of times people say, well, they'll never pay for that. Well, if you don't ask, they're never going to pay for it. If you don't put it out there and say, hey, this is something we need and be able to substantiate the value in it, then it is never going to happen. And there is a, and one of my HEMA, because I'm an HEMA member, the emails that they were pointing to a Harvard Business Review article, the IT Transformation Healthcare Needs. And they made a very specific point. This is a really good article. We'll include a link to it. You can go learn a whole lot more from it. But one of the points they brought out was the value you use IT and data analytics that healthcare needs to prioritize quality improvement over cost cutting. And that they have done studies to show that it really does matter. So if you can show that this spending this money will actually improve quality and allow us to make more money or in the end spend less money, then you know your return on investment. Which then takes us to number five.
Yeah.
Which is, there's a lot in number five, but we're going to try to get it in here fairly quickly.
Yeah. So number five is doing a technology review. And I don't care what you're doing, what business you're in, technology permeates the entire business, entire organization. And in most cases, it's more prevalent than you know. So spend some time on this one. But the first thing we want you to do under this is find out what your assets are. So where are your desktops? Where are your servers, your laptops, your phones, your tablets, the other devices that connect to the internet? All those things need to be written down and documented. It's amazing how many times I go to a client, and sometimes I've even had them for a client for a little while, and they're like, oh, by the way, there's a device over here. There's a desktop in this closet. There's a router back in on top of the refrigerator that runs a refrigeration unit we didn't tell you about. And it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Or you're walking down the hall and all of a sudden you see a wireless access point and you're like,
yeah, where'd that come from?
Where'd that come from? Because that ain't one of mine.
Yeah. We had that happen recently. Internet service provider came in and said, we're putting free Wi-Fi access points, you know, throughout the city. And they came in, put the Wi-Fi access point in. Now, they did bring another modem in, so it wasn't interfering with anything, but it was just a piece of equipment that I'm looking at going, where did that come from?
That's unaccountable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
you are spot on there, my friend. I agree.
Yep. And I think you put in here about the maintenance subscriptions.
Yeah, a lot of times, people, you'll have hardware or, you know, your big servers and your software, you'll have some sort of subscription for renewals and maintenance and those kind of things. And let me explain something simple. They may not remind you more than once. Because guess what? It costs way more to put it back on maintenance than it does to maintain it on maintenance. So sometimes you're getting some emails reminding you to do it and you miss them. So go check all of that critical hardware and software to make sure your subscriptions are in place and any kind of maintenance contracts you have are still, you know, in play. And then same thing for your critical applications. at, you know, that's your EHR or your billing or whatever. Do you have big upgrades that you had to address? Do you need to plan a big upgrade next year? Is your server old and you know you're going to need to do it? That goes back to budgeting as well as planning that and making it part of your review things in your tech plan. You've got to get the resources available and plan the downtime and whatever. Make sure your admin staff has reviewed all the updates that they need to know about things that have changed. You know, a lot of times you count on people to do things and then you don't make sure they get trained on how to do it and keep their training up to date. So that's important. Make sure that your people that are supposed to be doing things have had some training on doing it. Yeah, and make sure on those critical things that anybody that needs to be removed or disabled, they're gone.
Oh my gosh. Because
we've seen how that goes wrong.
Huge.
Huge.
I see that all the time.
I know. It's just wrong. Yeah. I can't stress that enough of making sure that the people that should be gone are gone and the people that shouldn't have authority don't.
Yeah, and it really goes back to looking at your assets as well. Like, what do people have?
Saying assets.
I know. Because what I've seen sometimes is people will remove them from email, but not the server, or vice versa. They'll get removed from the server, but then they don't remove their email access, so they can still access the email. But you know, if you don't go through and list all these things out and have a policy in place, when somebody leaves, we're going to make sure we do this, and this, then they'll get overlooked. They will. Right. So that brings us to security.
Yeah, perfect segue.
Yeah, so on your security, and you're going to have to get IT involved in this, but you want to look at security in multiple levels. Anybody who tells you that just having, you know, antivirus on your computers is security, no. Security is layered, just like the security in anything. If you think of it as like a physical building, like your network is a building, you know, you've got security because your doors are locked and you have an alarm system in place, and maybe you have a security guard, or you have a dog, or you have signs out front, but you got all these layers of things to try to keep people out, either to deter them or to keep them out or to catch them if they get in. A network is the same way. So the first thing you need to look at is, what is your network security? What is securing what we call in the IT world, what on the edge of your network? So as the traffic comes and goes, what's protecting you there?
Yeah, you're living on the edge.
Always. The next one to look at, and this has been in the news a lot lately, but look at the security of your Wi-Fi. A few weeks ago, there was a problem found in every single Wi-Fi access point and router ever created that has to be patched. So if you have Wi-Fi and this hasn't been patched, then it's a problem. So look at your Wi-Fi security. Next, look at your endpoints. Endpoints being your desktops and your servers. An endpoint is wherever a user is. So what is the security there? And that's typically when you're looking at the antivirus and such. But look at the security there. Also look at portable storage. You know, those little USB hard drives you have floating around, or thumb drives, people call them. You know, what are you doing with those? How are you securing those? Are you encrypting them? You know, what are you doing with them? So look at that. And then lastly, on the security part, is do you have things in the quote-unquote cloud? And what does that actually mean? Talk to your cloud vendor to find out, because some people, I have walked into their business and they tell me all their stuff's in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out, it's not. I actually had to prove it to a doctor a couple weeks ago. He's retiring and he was going to take all of his computers and take them to Goodwill. And I said, whoa, Holsey, before you do that, we need to make sure we remove anything from them. And he goes, all of our stuff's in the cloud. And I'm like, don't think so. And he's like, no, everything we have is in the cloud. So he walks me into the front office and he looks at the front office lady and he says, do we store anything on these computers? And she goes, no, everything's in the cloud. And I was like, all right, open up the My Documents folder. So she opens it up. There's scans
everywhere.
Susie must have did that. She's not been here for 2 years. I'm like, there you go.
Hello. And downloads. Let's look at downloads. Let's look at your temp folder. Let's just get around.
Yeah, but the chances of everything being in the cloud, I've never yet seen it. Now, there might be somebody out there that does actually have everything in the cloud, but I've yet to find a client who has all their PHI in the cloud.
Yeah, I mean, there's always something hanging out there and you just don't know it.
It just takes one document.
That's right. It only takes one. And things go horribly awry.
They can, because if he would have taken those computers and just gave them to Goodwill, what could have resulted?
They'd be on CBS News.
Possibly. And unfortunately, I know of a dentist office locally that did that recently. Now, I hadn't heard of anything that came of it, but I know they took their machines straight out of the office and took them straight to Goodwill. And I was just shook my head. That's all I could do was just shake my head.
Yeah, because you're not allowed to sometimes. I am simply here to advise. It's what I have to always say to myself sometimes, you know? I always say to myself sometimes, let me think about that sentence. Wrong. I have to say that to myself a lot, is when they do whatever they decide to do. It's their business decision. I'm simply here to advise that that's a bad idea.
So that drives us into the disaster recovery and business continuity. It should be next on your list.
Yeah. Well, on my list or their
on
list?
On the listener list. Yeah.
Okay.
I know you don't do backups.
We don't need no stinking backup. We always say that's the developer's last words.
Yeah.
But yeah, but see, some of this falls under having that desktop review.
Mm-hmm.
Are your backups happening? Are they being tested? Do you know your recovery time? How huge is that?
Yeah.
Make sure you know that. Make sure, they switch. And let me tell you, these vendors, you know, your IT vendors, sometimes they'll say, we're just switching you from this to this because they may use a different backup vendor. They may decide there's a better choice and they'll switch it. And has anybody documented how it's different?
Mm-hmm.
Or how long it takes, or any of those kind of things. So that falls under, you know, that desktop review, but it's also part of your tech review. So hit that multiple times, because we all know not having a backup is really one of the most dangerous things you can do.
Yeah, and I can't say this enough. If you're not testing your backups, if you're not trying to recover to see what happens, then you have no idea if the backups that you think you have can actually be recovered.
Yes, I
had a client, this has been a long time ago.
Yeah.
But he decided that he didn't want to pay for us to come in and do the backup before an OS upgrade, an operating system upgrade. So he was going to do his own backup.
I'll do it myself.
I will do it myself. So we get there and I confirm he has done it himself. And he pulls out this, pulls out this external drive. I've got it all right here. And I'm like, okay. So I can, proceeded to completely delete everything on his computer, put the new operating system on there, the whole nine yards. Then I said, I am ready for your backup. So he hands me his backup and I plug it in and da-da-da-da. He had taken and copied all of the icons on the desktop and put them on the hard drive backup. He thought by copying the shortcuts, he was grabbing everything. So all he had was shortcuts.
You didn't check his work before you started. I mean, he was still screwed. But yeah. Yeah. It's like that's where you learn not to believe them.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least make sure they get the instructions down on what to do. But then they don't follow them. So.
Yeah. Well, this was one of these, you probably run into this before too. It's one of these people that's like, I want you to hurry up and get in, get out. You know, they're kind of combative with you. They want you to do the work, but they're not happy that you're having them do the work.
I had somebody complain one time that I should know how to do something. I shouldn't have to look up instructions on the Microsoft site.
Oh, Lord.
Of course, they were an accountant. So,
yeah.
Like, they never have to look up what the code and regs say, but.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you'll have that.
Anyway,
so, and then lastly, drum roll.
Sure, IT is involved.
Yes, please, Lord, get your IT people involved. I mean, if they're on site IT, that's great and a lot easier if they're outsourced IT.
You've been listening
please
to
let
the
them
Help
know
Me
what's going
HIPAA
on.
Podcast,
make sure
by
that
Grindel
they know everything about your environment.
The show created to help you know,
telling them HIPAA. Later on
for
that, hey, we just brought in 10 iPads
visit our website
6 months ago.
HIPAA.com. Neither Donna Grindel
not very
or
good.
Sims are
you know, oh, by the way, we cut loose
advice concerning
you know,
regulatory compliance.
Three people in the past
the
6 months, and we didn't tell you. So we can't remove them from our systems.
Consult your
don't assume that they know anything. Always verify. Verify what they know. Verify what they're doing. Verify what they're documenting. You know, they need to be very, very involved in your business, and it shouldn't always be them contacting you. Make sure you're always having communications back with them about what's going on.
Yes. You need to, it's full. Don't just say, oh, well, they're going to take care of it and forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't because tech nerds, all they worry about is the computer. They don't see the big picture a lot. It's hard, you know, but you want them to have that focus when something's really wrong, and it's not a bad thing, but somebody's got to be looking at the big picture and understanding the big picture. And your first line support, your field engineers or whatever you want to call them, and your help desk people, they just know their checklist they're supposed to follow for X, Y, and Z. I mean, they're not, if they, you know, they haven't had the experience yet or they wouldn't be frontline, you know?
Yeah.
So you always have to make sure everybody knows about your environment and when you bring in somebody, it's your first time here. Let me make sure that you understand X, Y, and Z. And if they give you any back talk, say you get out or let me talk to your supervisor because you shouldn't just assume anything.
Right.
So. It's
and,
very important.
You know, ask your IT, especially if you have them outsourced, ask them about things where if they're touching your data, ask them about what they're using and have they vetted their business associates and things like that. I know it's their responsibility, but it doesn't hurt you to say, let's have a conversation about our backups. Where's the data going? And have you vetted that person? And do you have a business associate agreement? Because trust me, I see other IT companies a lot that are using backup vendors and such that they should not be using for a medical office. So just because you can back up to them physically doesn't mean you can legally back up to them.
Exactly. And there's so many IT people that have a bit of arrogance about this that there is. It's just like every other thing. It's not. It's very different.
Yeah. All you got to do is encrypt it and it's compliant. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Or the ones that say, I've decided I'm getting into healthcare.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, unless if you're doing the HIPAA is easy, go ahead and try that first. And if you want to take it seriously, then maybe we're for you. But, you know, no.
Yeah.
I'm not going down that path.
I know. I see it, too. They don't know anything about HIPAA, but they want to start doing HIPAA risk analysis and risk management plans and all that. And I'm like, there's no way, dude. You're not. There's no way.
You don't know what to do. You don't. Yeah. You're making too many assumptions if you've never done this before.
Yeah. And probably all you're going to be doing is a technical safeguards analysis. Mm-hmm. You're not going to do a HIPAA risk analysis.
Yeah. The administrative physical, the policies and procedures, there's more. It's not like PCI. I don't care what you say.
Right.
And I worked in hospital IT. I know what you're supposed to do. Still not helpful. So make sure that people really do understand this. And we're going to do actually an episode on SOC 2 and what if somebody tells you they're SOC 2, what does that mean to you?
I got two socks on right now.
All right, now we're done for today.
So let's review the five things to do before year's end. Number one, review your risk management. How did you do this year? Number two, make goals based on this year as to what you're going to do next year. Step three, plan your desktop reviews. Number four, look at your budgeting for projects and tech refreshes. And then number five, do your technology review with your IT peoples.
Yeah, so you're reviewing where you are and where you've been and how great this year was and making a plan for how you're going to do even better next year. Yay!
I think I'll do that.
All right,
folks.
There you go. I love how we're in that kind of sync.
I know. So that's our show for today. Don't forget, we are a completely listener-supported show, so if you enjoyed today's podcast episode, consider becoming a Patreon contributor by going to helpmewithhippa.com/give, and we would greatly appreciate it. So as for Donna and myself, remember that HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.